We're back. We cross the fire. Don't follow me. Not on your knees. Not nearly wasted. Watching the bell. Facing the bell. They have your eyes. They have your eyes. This is season 3 of Banter Over a Cigarette, the variety-style talk podcast where we discuss the things that interest us, amuse us, and piss us off, some of the latest news from gaming, entertainment, geek, and tech culture, as well as anything from the news we find fucked up. And as always, Banter Over a Cigarette is manned by your hosts, Eldon KR.
I am the Rush Limbaugh of new media. Well, except for the pillars.
Benjamin Weaver.
Oh, what's your job, Ben?
To sit in the corner and look cute and be fun.
You fail miserably at all of them.
Yes, I do.
I'm a Capricorn. I'm single, and I love books.
And Kyle Gans.
I've spent a very inanimate amount of time, I think 4 or 5 days, downloading 60 gigs of every episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Some or all of the episodes of Banter Over a Cigarette may or may not contain offensive material, such as language.
All I can say is what the fuck, man.
Fuck CNN. Nuts.
Token retard my ass, you fucker.
Sexual themes and innuendo.
Remember, more than 5 spins, well, I'll let you figure it out for yourself. Someone discovered chronic masturbation, and we might not see him for a while.
Yeah, apparently he's discovered that men can have multiple orgasms as well. So, he'll be dry and sore and bloody soon.
References to drug use and alcohol.
We are going to do Jaeger bombs.
And general rudeness. So if you're the kind of person who finds any of that offensive or can't handle hearing the word fuck a couple dozen times in the course of 45 minutes, I would suggest you turn this off right now.
Yeah, but no one listens to that. That's why we piss people off.
But at least we've covered our asses, so let's get on with the show. It's time to fuck some shit up.
Hey everybody out there in internet land, this is Eldon KR. I would just like to say that this is not the actual season opener for season 3 of Banter Over a Cigarette. This is an interview I did with Dan Sawyer last week. I will have some talk at the end of this interview episode to tell you why there's an interview in place of the intended season opener. But let's get to the interview, because I'm sure that a lot of people don't like hearing a bunch of rabble, 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 rabble before the actual content of the show starts. So I'll save all the talky talk for after this interview, and if you want to stick around for that, you can. The interview with Dan Sawyer last week ran a bit long. I think it was around 1 hour and 20 minutes. So what I did was I broke it up into 2 parts, and the first part of the interview will air right now on this week's episode, and then the second part of the interview will air next week for next week's episode. So if you want to hear the rest of the interview, make sure you come back and hear it next week. And a quick message to all of the people who wandered over here from Dan Sawyer's neck of the internets. I hope you enjoy the interview, and I hope you stick around after this interview for the actual episodes that will be recorded and put up. It's a pretty good show, and interesting cast of characters, and I have some people who might pop in and take a guest seat every now and again for this season as well. So, without further ado, here's the interview with Dan Sawyer, and I hope you enjoy it. Okay, well, hello everybody out there in internet land. This is Eldon KR, and I have with me today J. Daniel Sawyer. How's it going?
Going pretty well. Working my ass off to get Free Will out on time.
Oh, I know for one that I've been waiting for it for a while, because Predestination was awesome.
Cool. Glad you liked it.
All right. And first question I have for you is, what was it that made you want to write in the first place?
I think it was learning to read. Kind of did that for me. You think I'm joking, but I'm actually not. I've been Once I knew how to read, I was writing Star Wars fan fiction in crayon on very large pieces of poster board. And then when my dad read me Lord of the Rings as a bedtime story, or The Hobbit as a bedtime story, I then started writing Lord of the Rings fan fiction on poster board with large crayons.
You got The Hobbit as a bedtime story?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, I wasn't that lucky. I got golden books read to me as bedtime stories, and then every night before I went to bed, I watched Stephen King's Misery. Yeah, that might actually explain a lot.
See, I was in a psych master's program, and that just seems like such fertile land for an embarrassing interview myself.
Oh. Yeah, so basically, you're like, okay, I can interpret these things now to make my own stuff.
Well, yeah, I actually went into the psych program so that I could understand enough about people to be able to write characters better, because my characters at the time were for shit, so.
Huh, that makes sense. I should probably try doing that. My thing is, it's hard for me to make a main character that people actually like.
I wouldn't know anything about that. All my characters are likable and warm and fuzzy people. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, all of my main characters turn out to be assholes for some reason or another. Might have some
that was a joke, you understand. That was a joke, you understand.
Yeah. Alright, well, what was the first thing that you wrote then? Aside from the fan fiction.
Aside from the fan fiction, that would have to be a epic fantasy novel that I started writing when I was 8 years old.
Finished was it that when one I was also 12. In crayon?
No. That was not. I had progressed to computers by the time I was 5.
Lucky.
I was programming computers. Yeah, we couldn't afford video games, so my dad got a VIC-20 and a book full of computer games in BASIC that I had to program myself.
So you started programming at 5?
Yeah.
Wow, that almost makes me beating Legend of Zelda back then seem like an understatement, if you're sitting there programming your own games at 5.
Well, I didn't say I understood what I was doing. I was more or less following a recipe book, but it was fun.
Ah. And do you plan on podcasting that epic fantasy?
Oh, hell no. No. That's locked away in a safe. To be opened after I die, if I don't decide to go back and rewrite it. But everything in it is so derivative, I don't think there's anything salvageable there.
Okay, well, aside from that epic fantasy, what was the first thing you wrote that you were proud of?
I was proud of that at the time. I don't
know.
Well, like,
but today.
Oh, well, let's see. I'd say the first serious stab at professional writing had to be We Create Worlds, a revised version of which you can find on the Sculpting God podcast at sculptgod.jdsawyer.net.
Ding.
I wish I had T's little bell.
Yeah,
that had to be, that was the first short story, and it underwent significant revisions. But yeah, when I was 20, I started writing for Sirius.
For real?
Yeah, well, I had tried a few times before that, but I kept running up against walls, like everything was really cliched, or I had great ideas but didn't know how to implement them. And then I think it was I basically started to impress my wife. Well, we had just gotten married, and she was really, really, really interested in my writing, and I'm like, well, you know, I kind of write shit. And she'd read some of the stuff, and she's got, you got talent, man. You should write something. So I had this job at a courier company where I was dispatching over the weekend. It was a 40-hour shift that lasted 3 days. So I had a lot of downtime and nothing to do but write. And so I started working on some short stories and writing some scenes that eventually would make it into Predestination. And that was 13 years ago? God. That was a long time ago.
Writing to impress your wife. See, most people just get fancy cars.
Well, cars break down, man. Words are sexy.
You should have that as a shirt or something. That'd make a good shirt.
There you go.
Well, have you ever had anything published?
Yeah, I published my short story Cold Duty with Clone Pod and Steam Pod as their Christmas episode last year. I've got about 18 or 20 articles published with Linux Journal, 3 or 4 with Linux.com, and 3 or 4 with the Polish magazine Linux Plus, as well as various unpaid stuff like the story I wrote for Philippa Ballantyne for Erotica a la Carte called Buried Alive in the Blues.
I was intending on listening to that, but I don't think I ever got around to Erotica a la Carte yet.
It's a good series. Some of Pip's best work so far is in there, like her story Measureless to Man. Oh my god, is that amazing.
Yeah,
should be
from, from everything I hear, it sounds like it'd be really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
So, you've got Down from 10, you had Predestination, Sculpting God. What else are you currently working on?
Well, I'm currently writing Free Will, which will start podcasting on November 11th. I'll be part of the podcaster Triple Threat. Chris Lester will be starting his second season of Metamore City that same day, and Philippa Ballantyne will be starting her next book, which I believe is Digital Magic, on that same day, which is the sequel to Chasing the Bard. So
what happened in 9909?
Chris and I both looked at it, and I think I was the first one to call Uncle, but Chris and I both looked at it, and we were both like, you know, there's no fucking way that we're going to get this shit written before the deadline, let alone recorded. As it is, I'm still going to be going right up against it, but I think I'm going to be able to do it. I've been making good progress on Free Will these last few weeks, and it is more or less a rewrite rather than a write from scratch, so...
Well, that's always good. And for people who might find this interview that haven't heard anything from Dan Sawyer before, why don't you give us a breakdown of some of the stuff that you've put out there so far?
Okay, well, Sculpting God is a short story collection of bedtime stories for adults that's adult-oriented bedtime stories. It's not erotica, though there is one story in there that's pretty explicit. But they're bedtime stories that they're, it's kind of like Twilight Zone meets Ray Bradbury with a lot of my own sensibilities piled on top. They're epiphany stories, stories about strange things that sort of change the way the characters look at the universe. And it's been pretty popular. Believe it or not, it's still my most popular podcast. Get 3,000 or 4,000 listeners on it. Last year I started doing the now Parsec finalist, Predestination and Other Games of Chance, which is a science fiction spy thriller set in the relatively near future about the revolutionary war between the lunar colony and its host governments back on Earth and all the shit that goes down there. People have compared it to The Moon is a Harsh Mistress, usually favorably. In fact, I had one reviewer said, this is the book I wish The Moon is a Harsh Mistress would have been, because he doesn't use a super intelligent computer as a due machina, and his characters are believable. Which, being someone who grew up on Heinlein, I find very flattering. And don't know if it's quite fair to Heinlein, particularly given the market he was writing in, but... I have had a lot of fun with it, and you had quite a connection with that, with the story too, didn't you?
Yeah, I was listening to it. Part of the story where the Hartmans start having their marital problems was hitting your feed at about the same time I was having a really hard time with my then but now ex-girlfriend. Like,
yeah,
there were times where I just had to turn it off because I couldn't put up with it.
I got one of the coolest reviews I got was from you saying, you know, it's a rare thing to have a podcaster make you want to throw the iPod across the room and then 10 minutes later go pick it up because you got to know what happens next.
Yeah, I think I also likened your writing to what an artist does with a paintbrush.
That's right, you did. That was very flattering. Thank you.
Yeah, Predestination is a really good story. I think it's also been called, what, Predestination and other books with really long titles?
Yeah, that was another one of your lines.
I don't think I could take credit for that one. I think that was somebody else.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's book one in a 5-book series called The Antithesis Progression. The conceit of the titles is based on Hegel's historical dialectic, where he said that all things move from a thesis to an antithesis to a synthesis, and that's how progress is made in the world of ideas and in history. And although it's really a very limited dialectic and doesn't actually encompass the complexities of the world, I thought it was kind of fun to take it and play with it. And so the first book is Predestination and Other Games of Chance, which, by the way, the Other Games of Chance, of course, is that its central metaphors are poker and chess.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the second book is Free Will and Other Compulsions. The third book will be... Oh, God, now I got to look this up. You can cut this out where I'm looking up my own titles because it's really lame. But
I usually don't cut anything out from interviews.
You don't?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Well, when podcasters do their own thing or on other people's interviews, everything's edited and everybody appears to be awesome and godlike. So I like to leave my interviews unedited and have a glimpse of a podcaster in real life just on a microphone chatting with some other dude.
Now, I do live shows for that. Okay.
Yeah, but how much editing do you do on your live shows?
The ones like I was on Blog Talk Radio, there's no editing on that one. And on my other live shows, I pretty much just cut out the awkward silences so that people don't get bored to tears.
Like the feedback shows?
Yeah, well, that, and I also cut out compromising information, because quite frequently I'll have friends on there, and we'll get to gossiping about people personally that we both know that the audience doesn't. A, will bore the audience to death, and B, would piss off our friends hearing their private lives paraded on the air, so I don't do that. But, so book one is Predestination and Other Games of Chance. Book two, which is coming out November 11th, is Free Will and Other Compulsions. Book three is Avarice and Other Ceremonies of Innocence. Book 4 is Anarchy and Other Forms of Government, and Book 5 is Predation and Other Acts of Mercy. And
those titles. I don't know why they want you to make them shorter.
Well, they don't fit comfortably on the spine of a book. But
make bigger books.
Yeah, really. But the titles sum up fairly well the major themes that go through the books. I got one of the places I got the idea was when I was a kid, one of my uncles was a diplomat, and I asked him...
A diplomat or a spy?
Well, we think he was a spy, but he was a diplomat. We will never know for sure whether or not he was a spy, because he can't tell us, or he can't confirm or deny, right? And he's dead now, anyway. But I asked him at one point, I only met him twice, and I asked him... The first time I met him, I was 8 or 9, and I asked him what a diplomat did, and he said, well, do you know how to play poker? And I said, not really. He said, okay, do you know how to play chess? I said, yes, I love chess. And he said, well, if you know how to play poker and chess, you basically have the skill set it takes to be a good diplomat. Everything else is just training in the particular task.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's interesting.
I do pretty okay when it comes to chess. I just don't really play often enough to improve.
Mm-hmm.
I spend most of my time in poker losing money, though. There's a few times where I actually did win, but I lose a lot of money in poker.
Hmm. Well, as a result of that conversation, I really got into playing poker, and I was playing every day for about 10 years, and really liked it. But and since then, I haven't played much. But He's right. The kind of people reading and strategy skills you get from poker and chess are the kinds of things you need to be able to conduct successful negotiations. And so I decided when I got the idea in my head to write this spy novel, I decided that I was going to take those two games and use them as central metaphors. And so they run all through the whole series. So,
is there ever going to be any kind of go fish tournaments while you're writing this?
No. But Predestination starts out with a poker player named Alex Hart, who everyone is desperately terrified of because he's very intimidating. No one even knows how good he is because he's so intimidating that everyone thinks he wins all the time, even though he only wins slightly better than average. And he's a bounty hunter who is on a stakeout waiting for a fugitive to walk through. The fugitive walks into the bar to play poker with this guy who's got a hell of a reputation, And naturally, all hell breaks loose. And from there on, we get into the lunar underworld, the crime syndicate, the underground revolutionary movement, and the different and completely opposing agendas that all our protagonists have with each other. So it turns out to be a very very twisty little maze of agendas and relationships that turned out to be very popular. I even got a podcast nomination. I'm a podcast finalist for Best New Podcaster, or podcasting team, for myself and my composer, Danny Shade, who did the original soundtrack.
And he does a great job.
Oh, does he ever? It's incredible stuff, and he's doing a hell of a job with Down from 10 too.
So how did you get into podcasting, or how did you discover podcasting?
I discovered podcasting watching the Sci-Fi Channel. There was an ad for the Battlestar Galactica commentary podcast. First time I ever heard the word, I subscribed to it, and then started hearing this word podcasting all over the place. Gradually found Skepticality, where I heard an interview by Scott Sigler, who I realized was local, and I bumped into him at a con intending to, and over the course of that year, I started podcasting on the Polyschismatic Reprobates Hour, which is my nonfiction podcast, at reprobateshour.com.
Ding.
And I decided I wanted to collar Sigler for an interview. And so I collared him at BayCon, and he started preaching the podcast fiction gospel to me and convinced me to start doing some of my own. So I started Sculpting God, and then later on got into doing Predestination. Are you still there?
I'm still here. Okay. Looks like my host disappeared. I think we scared him.
Do you want to try adding him in again?
No, I was only going to add him in just the hell of it anyway.
Okay.
He's the comic relief for the show.
Okay.
It's funny, both of my hosts, other hosts, decided to bother me at the same time.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so you got in the pod, you discovered podcasting through the Battlestar Galactica commentary podcast?
Yep.
Yeah, I actually just recently got into that whole Battlestar Galactica thing.
Ah, well, do yourself a favor, avoid the last half hour of the final episode. Otherwise, it ruins the whole fucking show.
Well, as far as I am right now, I watched Caprica and then the miniseries, and I finished up the first or second, I think the second episode of first season.
Last
night
so
before I went
good.
To bed.
Yeah.
I think I'm a bit ways off for that warning right there, because I've only got the first season right now.
Okay. Well, I won't tell you anything more then.
So, how many podcasts do you have that you do things for currently?
Oh, well, let's see. There's my three fiction podcasts, soon to be four, Predestination, Sculpting God, and Down from 10. Then there's the Polyschismatic Reprobates Hour, which is a cultural commentary podcast. Basically, I bring on interesting people and interview them. Alt culture leaders like Cunning Minx has been on. I've had T. Morris and Philippa Valentine on. I've had most of the major podcast novelists on. I've also had Michael Shermer. I've had Richard Carrier on a few times. Graydon Square. A whole bunch. Just a really wide cross-section. Excuse me. Of artists.
Blocking your throat?
Really wide cross-section of artists and scientists and philosophers and historians. And they just talk about interesting shit.
Yeah, the Reprobates Hour is a really awesome show. I listen to the two episodes where you were discussing religion and history or something to that effect?
The ancient science and the Roman Empire and the effect that Christianity had or did not have on the rise of the scientific revolution.
Yeah, that one. I listened to that one over the course of a weekend when I was driving towards and back from Indianapolis to see a friend, or I think I was house-sitting that weekend, maybe. Mm. Good stuff.
Yeah, it was
still
a lot
waiting
of fun
for more of it to hit the feed, though.
Well, I've got about another 12 on my hard drive, and it's just a matter of when I have time to edit them and record the Reprobates News, which is our cute, silly, fake news segment in the middle, and put them out.
Yeah, the Reprobates News thing is funny. Yeah. aside from your own work, how many other podcasts have you been on?
Oh, boy. Been on Metamore City, Erotica a la Carte. I've had my stories on Clone Pod, Steam Pod, and I've had a story and an essay on the Sci-Fi Show. I've done voice work for about a dozen other podcasts at this point. I'm all over the place, and having fun doing it.
So far, the only podcast I bought is this one.
Say what?
I said, so far, the only podcast I'm on is this one. But I'm working on that as soon as I can actually knuckle down and finish the novel I'm working on.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to get around what I've written myself so far, because I'm kind of at writer's block right now.
Yeah. Well, you can remember, with novels, it's kind of like film. You can write non-linearly. If you're blocked in a certain place, jump forward to another scene.
Well, I'm kind of writing it as I go along, so there's really no another scene to jump forward to. This is like my first major thing. I never actually started an outline for this. Basically, I got ideas for a story, was going to write it down, but I didn't have any paper. So I called my dad, and I'm like, hey, can you bring some paper over? And he brings me side-perforated computer paper. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm like, fuck it, that'll work. So I start writing my story on the side-perforated computer paper, and I've been picking it up from there.
Cool. Yeah, I've written enough in the way of screenplays and whatnot that I've gotten used to the index card method of writing, where I sit down and I figure out what scenes I want to have, and I write summaries on index cards, and then I shuffle them around until they make some kind of sense and fill in the gaps. And that way, if I'm blocked, I can always just jump forward to a different index card. And then revisions are for making it all flow and making it all, you know, putting the foreshadowing in and getting everything to stick together well.
Yeah, my main thing about getting stuck right now is that I will go like a month, maybe 2 months, between picking it back up and writing on it again. And by that time, I've already forgotten where I was, so I'll go 3 or 4 chapters back and go down from there. And as I go down and read through it, I'll notice a mistake I made, and I'll fix them as I go down. And by the time I get to the bottom, I really only have enough energy left to write a couple more chapters.
Well, yeah, so I think I should listen to Ray Bradbury
what?
Ray Bradbury's advice to new writers was write one short story a day for a year.
Hmm.
And nope, because no one can write 365 shitty short stories in a row.
And in doing that, you will
find your voice, and you'll learn how your mind constructs stories so that you'll be able to work with them better and be a more efficient writer. But really, it's and what was it, Joe? I got to meet Joe Esterhaas at a book signing, and at the book signing, he was giving his he's the guy who wrote Basic Instinct and several other films. And he said the most important quality for a writer to have is the German virtue of Setzenfleische, which means the ability to sit on one's ass.
The Germans have really cool words.
In front of the computer. Mm-hmm. The ability to sit in front of a computer and write, even when you'd rather be doing something else.
Yeah. The Germans have really cool words, but a lot of them tend to be really long. Like their word for tank, what is it, Panzerkampfwagen? Isn't that the word for tank?
I don't know. My
so
it might be. My German vocabulary has gone downhill in the last 10 years.
According to my history teacher, he says that's the word for tank. But really, if you think about it, by the time they can say, look out, there's a tank, they've already gotten blown up.
I'm sure they would have shorter words, like in World War II they had panzers, you know.
Yeah. So, what is your current setup for recording? What kind of software, nifty little pieces of hardware do you have for your recording equipment?
Oh, let's see. I'm running, I record my voice on a Shure SM58. I run it through a Yamaha 10-channel board, through a nice little outboard EQ, into my AD converter, and into one of my two Pro Audio cards. to Ardour, which is the software I record and mix in, and then if I'm feeling very anal, I'll do a mastering pass in Jamin on the way out. It's a Linux-based open-source audio setup, and it's very nice because I'm basically getting most of what I would use in Pro Tools for free.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. It also sounds really efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am just sitting here with a microphone and Audacity and a pair of wireless headphones.
Yep. Well, microphone and Audacity is a good way to start. I did the first... did the first season of Reprobate's Hour that way. I did about half of Sculpting God that way, and it was doing Sculpting God that convinced me to move up, because I was doing production, the kinds of levels of production that you just can't use Audacity for. I needed to be able to automate fades and pans and do stereo imaging and have procedural reverb and all that stuff.
Well,
and
it's a good...
You can't do that in Audacity.
Yeah, it's a good thing you moved up, because Down From 10 sounds awesome.
Thank you. Down From 10, most of the listeners don't know what Down From 10 is yet. Down From 10 is a country house murder mystery comedy. Think The Shining meets Clue. It's a story about eight very bohemian artists who go to a retreat every year in the mountains, and this year they get snowed in. Avalanche covers the house. And they figure they're going to be doing okay for the most part, because they're planning to be there for 10 days anyway. So the snowplows will get to them. Problem is, they all start having the same dream. And that makes shit go really weird. And that's about the point of the story we're at right now with episode 8. Things have just started to get a little weird, and they're trying to figure out what to do about being stuck under the snow.
Yeah, I think the last episode I listened to was where it ended, and there's this mystery man on a computer at the end of it. That's about as far as I've gotten.
Yes, end of episode 4.
Yes.
Yep.
When I listen to it, it sounds like you put a hell of a lot of work into Down From 10. Like, I have to listen to headphones so I can get everything out of it.
Yeah, it's... I'm trying to one-up again Predestination. I thought this was going to be easy production-wise, but it's turned out to be every bit as complex as Predestination was. I only have 8 people in the cast, so it's a lot easier than wrangling the 33 that were in Predestination.
Right.
But it still turned out to be quite a production, but I'm having a lot of
fun.
So
are you...
And it's nice to be doing a comedy.
Are you going to put this much effort into Free Will?
Oh, hell
awesome.
Yes. I've established my brand. I've screwed myself. I have to. But actually I really prefer it this way. I've always loved radio dramas, and I've been doing audio production for, holy shit, for 10 years now. Audio production, and mostly for film and concerts and DVDs. But I really like creating that immersive audio environment. I love directing actors, and so. It works really well for me, even though it's more effort. I'm really proud of the end product.
It sounds really well.
So it's
my thing is I usually listen to podcasts when I'm taking a walk or washing the dishes or I'm going to bed. And I've got one of those iPod dock / alarm clock things with the speakers on it. So I'll usually just place my iPod on that and then turn it up and go to bed. But with Down From 10, when I want to listen to that and I'm going to bed, I have to put the headphones on, because otherwise I have the thing turned up all the way so I can hear everything, and that bothers people who are trying to sleep. So I've had to refrain from doing that.
Yeah, I use a lot of layers, and I do a wall of sound mix so that there's good sonic saturation across the spectrum.
And that was the first part of my interview with Dan Sawyer. If you would like to hear its conclusion, please tune into this feed next week and you will hear the last half. If something sounds a bit off about this half of the interview, if the noise levels aren't quite right or something sounds out of sync or there's some weird amount of reverb or something just doesn't sound right. That's probably because, like I said, I broke this up into 2 parts. But when I took and was playing around with part 1 and split it up into 2 parts, for some reason it exported the whole thing as it was instead of just exporting what I wanted to make the first part. So I'm have a sneaking feeling that the entire day's work I put into making this half of the interview sound good went down the drain because there was a computer hiccup somewhere. I'm not exactly sure what it is, and I don't really have any energy left in the day to go through and listen to it all over again. I hope it sounds good, and maybe it sounds good, and I'm just crazy because, you know, you're your own worst critic and such. So hopefully it sounds good. It probably sounds good, and I'm insane. I'm not really sure which. But the second part that's going to show up next week should sound really good because that one actually cooperated with me when I was working with it, whereas when I was working on this half, I had lots of things going weird with my computer left and right, which is why I'm probably going to be switching to Linux sometime soon, because I really don't like Windows all that much. It's just what's on the computer right now. Basically, I decided to do an interview as the first episode of the season instead of a season opener because Dan said that he wanted to be on my show for a while now. And he couldn't do that because I had all kinds of fucked up computer shit going on. And I was delayed a bit, so I told him that the first episode of this season was going to be my interview with him, and that's what it is. Also, even if this wasn't going to be the first episode, there probably wouldn't have been a first season opener for this season because one of the co-hosts, Ben, is doing his own thing with school, and his schedule's been pretty crazy this week, so there was really never time to sit down and record because Ben had school, and Kyle's doing this thing where he's got a new roommate and he's trying to get him moved in and all that fun happy horse shit. So, I was really the only person who had time to sit down and do any recording this week, and I really didn't want to sit down and do it all by myself, seeing as I've got those two hosts, and sitting down and recording the show solo would kind of feel weird, I guess. But, yeah, that's the reason that this episode is an interview and not an actual show. So there's going to be this interview is going to be like the first and second episodes because it's broken up into two parts. And hopefully by the time the second part of the interview hits the feed, we'll have already sat down to record our episode, or we will be getting ready to sit down and record our episode so that the third episode for season 3 is going to be an actual show. I also plan on doing a lot of interviews for this season because, I like doing interviews, but I've never really done enough of them. I had an interview with Chris Lester from the first season of the Banner Over Cigarette show. I had an interview with P.G. Holyfield from season 2. There was also an interview with T. Morris, but, a computer exploded or something and all the audio from that one was lost. So I plan on doing more interviews for this season. I've got the interview with Dan Sawyer that you've just heard, and you'll hear the rest of next week. And then I've got an interview that I did week before last with Scott Roche, the author who writes the Archangel podcast novel. I'm talking with Philippa Ballantyne for doing an interview with her as well. And if I can get a hold of T. Morris, I'm going to see if he would like to sit down and try to do another interview, seeing as the last interview we had disappeared. Which saddens me greatly because that was a really epic interview. But I'm tired, my brain's fried, I'm rambling, so I'm going to cut this short. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Please tune in next week for the last half of the interview. All of you Dan Sawyer fans out there, or Crack Addicted Monkeys, as you were once referred to in one of his call-in shows, stick around. Hope you're enjoying what you've heard so far. Good night, everybody. This is Eldon KR signing off, saying I don't have cancer, so I'm not stopping.
You have been listening to Season 3 of Banter Over Sugar with your hosts, Eldon KR, Ben Weaver, and Kyle Gant. For more information and additional podcasts, please go to voacblogcast.wordpress.com. Banter Over Cigarette Season 3 was recorded in the year 2009, courtesy of Incendiary Media Podcasting. Intro music for Season 3 is Ill Business, provided with permission courtesy of local Indiana band Once a Friend. For more of their music, please go to myspace.com/onceafriend. Outro music for Season 3 is Water Sport, provided with permission courtesy of Libertine Leach from his 2007 album, A Trophy of the Elephant. For more of his music, please go to myspace.com/libertineleach. Additional audio editing and sound effects provided by Dollar J. If you enjoyed this podcast, please tell a friend. We'd also appreciate it if you left feedback about the show. If you would like to leave feedback, you can always leave comments on the blog or leave us an iTunes review. You can also call our K7 voicemail line, which is
206-202-5624.
Thank you for listening.
And then never listen to the show again because you hate us so much.